Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. When it comes to motivating and inspiring employees, there's no better or tougher model than the Federal Bureau of Investigation. In its 100-year fight against the ever-changing tactics of organized crime and terrorism, the FBI has learned invaluable lessons about powerful leadership and management. Like many companies, the FBI must succeed on a global playing field with limited resources. It must deal with unforeseen challenges and long-term strategic threats. Former Marine Dan Carrison has had unprecedented access to the inner workings of the FBI. In his latest book, From the Bureau to the Boardroom, he offers an insider's look at the Bureau, taking readers behind the scenes of some of the FBI's most important missions, from infiltrating a worldwide drug cartel to closing in on a terrorist cell. Dan, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave. Glad to be here.
The FBI must confront and defeat threats originating from all corners of the globe, from burgeoning terrorist groups, vast criminal enterprises, and international spies, while simultaneously dealing with local kidnappings, bank robberies, and street gangs. These challenges seem so profound and yet so varied that one has to ask, is there any similarity between the responsibilities faced by a manager in private enterprise and those confronted by his or her counterpart in the FBI?
Well, yeah, the FBI, for all its gravitas, deals with management issues no different than most of our own. You mentioned a moment ago it competes on a global playing field. It faces cross-cultural challenges. It must operate with limited resources and win with the tools it has, not with the tools it wishes it has. The FBI is in competition with a number of other agencies for resources, and it does not always have a friendly Congress. So its resources are not infinite by any means. It has to manage failure. It has to manage morale. It has to retain its top performers who are receiving offers from outside the organization from private enterprise that are unmatchable. It has to perpetuate an organizational culture within an increasingly diverse workforce, and it's under constant pressure to perform. All of these sound pretty familiar, I think, to you.
We're here in Times Square. I could find five businesses within a 3-minute walk that are facing similar challenges. You also suggest that any company can learn a lot from the FBI's 10 most wanted list.
Let's think about it for a moment. Why does the FBI publish a 10 most wanted list? Because they could keep it internal and avoid the American public asking year after year, for example, where is Patty Hearst? Nonetheless, they publish it. They publish it because an announced goal has a greater chance of being fulfilled if only because of the influence of public pressure. Secondly, the publication of a 10 most wanted list also enlist the eyes and ears of the hundreds of thousands of other law enforcement personnel across America and law enforcement people all over the world, and the eyes and ears of millions of citizens. So I asked myself, why couldn't a company accomplish much the same thing by publishing a 10 most wanted customer list? Why shouldn't a company let the world know the most desirable customers it wishes to serve and offer a reward for any employee who helps facilitate the capture of that prestigious customer? And I mean a commission, a bonus, a weekend in Hawaii for two. I would think it'd be a great idea, one that would leverage the tiny sales force, because every company, I don't care how big they are, their sales force is proportionately small to their employee force. It would multiply that force by all of the employees and perhaps all of the employees of its suppliers. And think about the customers for a moment. Imagine if you're a CEO of a prominent company, and you open the Wall Street Journal and you see your photograph on a wanted poster in an advertisement. Only this is a most wanted customer poster.
Right, right.
I think that CEO would be delighted and also intrigued, because a company is not only noted for the customers it serves, but for the ones it wishes to serve. And I think a CEO would think, my God, if this supplier really wants to serve me in such a public way, in such a public declaration, it probably can serve me. So I think it would be a great idea.
It's sort of novel. FBI agents have been known to pursue cold case investigations for decades until the criminal is finally captured. Is there anything a business leader who has held a quarterly performance metrics can learn from such long-term dedication to task?
It speaks very well of the FBI, but it's also an important lesson for us in private enterprise. The business equivalent of the cold case is, of course, the lost customer. Somewhere along the line, we screwed up and our customer left us. And now that customer is being treated like a king by another vendor. So it's difficult to justify a campaign to retrieve that lost customer because it takes time and it takes patience. Salespeople work on commission, and we are all held on a very short leash to short-term quarterly performance metrics. The end result is cold business tends to remain cold for many, many years. But there are a lot of reasons why we should seriously think about recapturing that lost customer, especially in a dynamic marketplace like we have today. There may have been a change of leadership over there. Our sins may have been forgotten, if not forgiven. Also, our competitor who is now serving the lost customer, he may stumble. He may have supply problems of his own. He's not perfect. The lost customer may also branch out into a new product line or to a new uncharted territory where we are better positioned to be of service. Besides, we too have changed. Our customer service, our quality control has dramatically improved. There's every reason to pursue that lost customer. The FBI does not differentiate between a crime committed last night and a crime committed 10 years ago or 20 years ago. They're both crimes. They both have to be solved. We can inculcate that feeling in our sales force by managing the cold case, the lost customer case, properly.
It's interesting to note that many, if not most, FBI agents claim to have wanted to join the Bureau since childhood. Can a company similarly reach out to the next generation?
This made me think a lot because in all the interviews I did, I interviewed quite a few FBI agents, retired, active, big-time management, men and women. They all have one thing in common. They all wanted to be an FBI agent ever since they were a kid. We don't hear that very often in private enterprise. And I think the company could do a lot more in terms of marketing itself to the families of its employees. Because second-generation employees can be a tremendous moral force. You know, it only takes a few rotten apples to spoil a barrel. The reverse is true. A small number of employees who have grown up under the sheltering wings of the company can help maintain the integrity of the corporate culture. So, how does a CEO do that? They can do what the FBI does and have family days. The private enterprise equivalent of that would be entire families are invited into a facility to see the kinds of projects mom and dad are working on. Families can also be invited to an in-house ceremony at the end of a prestigious project so that they can see for themselves the kind of work mom and dad did and also the finished product. Now, Boeing did this with the 777. Boeing invited 10,000 of its employees' families at tremendous expense, $1 million barbecue essentially, to come and look up at the first 777 jetliner designed for United Airlines. And it had a tremendous impact on the entire family. It also created an informal layer of management so that the employee would not only talk about and think about the 777 at work, but also at home and the dinner table. The company can also produce and distribute to its employees DVDs that chronicle a major project so the children can watch mom and dad being interviewed and better understand the importance of their role. The company can publish scrapbooks with dramatic photographs of their employees at work that can be displayed at home with pride, souvenirs from projects. These are little things, but they go a long way towards appealing to the second generation of employees. I think if you were to ask a room full of employees at a typical company, how many of you would want your children to follow in your footsteps here at this facility or at this company? Not that many hands would go up. If you ask that question at an FBI office, the air would be picketed with hands. FBI agents want their children to follow in their own footsteps, even though they know full well that there are better opportunities out there in private enterprise in terms of career growth, in terms of compensation. If the FBI is able to do this, I think it's something that private enterprise can learn from.
Actually, many FBI agents have professional degrees and very impressive resumes. Now, these capable executives are sought after by companies willing to triple their rather modest government salaries. How is the FBI able to retain these top performers?
They have the advantage of very noble work. So they have some advantages that a company making widgets may not have. But I think we can learn from the FBI because FBI management is acutely aware of the supporting role of the other half of the workforce. Let's take the wife of an agent, for example. Now, she's got to put up with a lot. Her husband works long hours. He's missing the kids' soccer games and birthdays. She also knows that there is an element of physical danger, and she may even have attended the funerals of fallen FBI agents. And there's another thing she knows, and you alluded to that her FBI husband can make a lot more money in private enterprise without the crazy hours and without being shot at. Management in the Bureau knows that this spouse shares the pillow and has the ear of that FBI agent, and if the wife or husband is not on board with the agent's career, the FBI could very easily lose that agent. But really, is it that different in corporate America? Executive managers work on godly hours, and they miss their share of quality family time as well. If the company takes the other half of the workforce for granted, it can be in for a very unpleasant surprise. So I think every opportunity should be taken to thank the spouses for their support and to educate them on the importance of the work the husband or the wife is doing. I'll give you an example of that. At JPL, they had a mission, an interstellar space probe that would go on and on and on past the solar system into outer space. The technicians there at JPL worked ungodly hours, and they were away from their families. So what the manager did there in his wisdom was invite all of the families to assemble in a circle around the spacecraft that was going to be launched into space, and he had everybody sign what amounted to an interstellar greeting card. Everybody signed their names, it was reduced in microfiche, and sent out into outer space in the event that this probe may be picked up by an extraterrestrial intelligence. Now, it's a very fanciful gesture, but it gave the families goosebumps. It also made the spouse more tolerant of the husband or wife who puts in 14-hour days and comes home exhausted and maybe a little bit cranky. So it's important for our private enterprise executives to send a bouquet of flowers with a handwritten note of thanks, or to make a phone call, or to make some overtures of appreciation to the other half of the workforce, because if they're not on board, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. Now, from a business perspective, what are the most applicable management principles practiced in the FBI?
Business could do well to emulate the FBI in a number of ways. One of the ways that's very important is the FBI can create an all-for-one, one-for-all corporate culture, and we can learn from that. It's also important to know how the FBI siphons experienced talent from the feet through the heart to the brains of the organization. I like the way the FBI makes training relevant to future challenges so that training is often credited with success in the street. So training is not looked upon as an ivory tower at all in the FBI. And I think the way the FBI cultivates bravery and fidelity and integrity in the workplace is very, very important for those of us in private enterprise management. Really, Dave, the FBI is a terrific organizational model, not because of the dramatic nature of the work it does, but because of the way its work is managed.
The book is entitled From the Bureau to the Boardroom, and we've been speaking with the author, Dan Karasin. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Dave, thanks a bunch.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.